Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night. And a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling. 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50. 10. 5. Touchdown. 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 Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Craywood, too. He did it. He did it. Beat the flag whistle. And Flair has done it. Flair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up, what's up? And welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with open phone lines for you. That 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet jhood. On Snapchat, snap jhood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. On the program tonight on this Thursday, we get a chance to hear from Jesse Rogers, who covers the Chicago Cubs like a blanket for ESPN.com and ABC7 Eyewitness News. We'll hear from Jesse coming up in 7 minutes from Los Angeles here on ESPN 1000. Also, we will have Summer of Football. We do it every single night at the 8 o'clock hour. The reason why is because, you know, training camps are right around the corner, not only for the NFL, but also for college football. We will hear from the fastest man in the National Football League, Kansas City's Tyreek Hill. We'll be on the program at 8:10 here on ESPN 1000. Also, we'll have Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. We also will hear from Sekou Smith, who covers the NBA for NBA.com and NBA TV. We'll get his thoughts about all of this free agency news. We'll get into a lot of it here tonight and try to unpack what's going on in the NBA. There's a Bulls relationship to all this that's going on with the NBA free agency. The relationship that the Bulls have with all this movement in the NBA is that the Bulls are in the NBA too. And that's the end of the parallel. So all that as part of the mix as we keep you company until 10 o'clock. Then it'll be Dan Le Batard, Stu Gotts, and Katie Nolan right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hope that you had a great Thursday. Hope that we're going to have a great Thursday night as we spend time with you here until 10 o'clock. So at the top, let us talk a little baseball here before we hear from Jesse. The Chicago White Sox. Oh, hey, hey, whoa.
The Chicago White Sox. How about that?
The Chicago White Sox just got through their series against the Minnesota Twins over at Guaranteed Rate as the White Sox lose 2-1, but they win the series. That was a crazy game. I was invested. I was really invested in this because I was looking for a sweep of the Twins. If someone asks me, Hood, what's the team that you dislike the most? I don't know if I have a team that I dislike the most. I'm an adult now. I don't necessarily have a hate for a team, a sports hate. But I really couldn't care less about the Minnesota Twins. I'll give you that. If I had to choose one, it's the Twins, because nothing got me more upset. Nothing got me almost to the hospital with anger than the Sox-Twins matchup over the years, especially when the Sox were competitive, because the Twins continued to be the hammer and the Sox the nail. And oh, I remember one show that I did here where the Sox had lost something like 17 out of 18 against the Twins, and we were doing this non-flagship postgame with the White Sox. And it got to, I think we were off at 11 o'clock, and I called the program director, Adam Delavan. I said, call him. I'm staying on an extra hour because I cannot go home. I felt that if I drove home with this loss in my heart, that something would happen, that they'd have to take me to the hospital. I was so angry. So over the, I mean, and it was, as a diehard Sox fan, when you lose to the Twins as often as they did, especially back in the day, man, that was tough to deal with. So if I have one team that maybe I don't have a really strong feeling for, it'd probably be the Twins. But the Twins were able to win 2-1. And we'll get to the Cubs in just a moment. I just want to point out that Giolito, the starter for the White Sox, had a no-hitter for a while. He pitched 6 1/3, 4 hits, 1 run. What you're looking for, if you're a White Sox fan, especially for those of you that are at Guaranteed Rate, or if you are watching or kind of following along with the game, you know what the season is. But at the same time, you're looking for bright spots. You're looking for things that you can look forward to in 2019 and 2020 and moving forward. Giolito is one of these guys here that has a high ERA and has not necessarily been lights out as a guy that that you think that maybe could be part of the future. But I think that that was a great step in the right direction for him in this outing against the Minnesota Twins. So this was an interesting game because, once again, the Sox had runners in scoring position and just could not get it done. They did not score until the bottom of the ninth. And, again, it was tied at one. And it was good. But then going into extra innings. And I just want to send a shout out to friend of the program, Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson was trying to steal second base late in the game and was called out because a second baseman for the Twins, Dozier, tried to block second base. Anderson thought he was safe. He probably still thinks he's on the plane right now on his way on the road. He probably still thinks that he's safe. Got thrown out of the ball game. Now, the one thing I would say for Tim Anderson is he has to understand time and place. Like, because the Sox were running out of players and Anderson got kicked out. And so the Sox were kind of like in a weird spot as far as what they wanted to do with their defensive alignment. Now, it didn't last long, but I just think that there was a player that was out of position because of the Anderson ejection. So it's just interesting. It really was watching this game and listening to it on the way in here today. Abreu in the seventh inning with the missed catch over at first base. I just thought that was a little odd. And you know, but it's just one of these seasons where the defense isn't very good. You're looking for anything offensively if you can. And Sox lose 2-1. They're 28-52. I would love to see that reversed at some point in the next few years. I don't know under what management. I don't know which players are going to be coming up here, really paying, you know, making a difference for this White Sox team. But man, it's tough. And then the Moncada injury, right, Davis, the Moncada injury. That's the other thing too. We got to find out whether or not he's going to be okay because he kind of slammed his foot into first base. He was running hard down the first base line. Got his leg jammed.
That was Carlos Yomer.
Yomer.
That was Sanchez. Yeah.
Yomer Sanchez. Rather, I'm sorry. So Yomer Sanchez, we got to make sure that he's okay going down the first base line. So hopefully he'll be okay. That looked like a rough injury, but it looks like Sanchez, hopefully he'll be okay. All right, glad that you're with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. And so Sox fall short, but the Cubs looking good. The Cubs went 11-5 as we go to Los Angeles. A man who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com is Jesse Rogers, and he joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hello, Jess.
Hey, Jay Hood. What's up, buddy?
You know what's up. 11-5 victory for the Chicago Cubs. What stood out in today's game?
Well, what stood out is a nice little five-inning rehab start for Clayton Kershaw, a guy that I think is going to make it in this league someday. But he couldn't go more than five because he's coming back from an injury. I liked what Rizzo said afterwards. Only Kershaw can rehab in the majors. Most guys have to go to the minors. He threw great, left with, 2-1 lead. And then, of course, the Cubs exploded in the seventh for 7 runs, got to the Dodgers bullpen, something they weren't able to do in the playoffs last year, and then they run away with this. And all of a sudden, the offensive numbers for the day look great. Rizzo with 4 hits, Almora homers. Baez keeps going the other way. Contreras looks good. Russell with a great, great day. Clutch hits for him. He homered as well. So, really good day. Once Kershaw left the game, nothing wrong with being a little lucky and fortunate, Jay Hood.
That's exactly what happened. How would you characterize Quintana's start for the Cubs today?
Grindy. You know, I was thinking about this. If you consider Darvish on one end of the spectrum and Lester on the other, if you know what I'm getting at.
Yes.
I kind of would put Quintana right in the middle. Like, he doesn't completely wilt, but he doesn't exactly go 7 innings, 2 runs, 1 run, you know, and make it easy. I get texts from people a lot when he's pitching. And the way I'll interpret the text is this. It's like a root canal watching him pitch sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not the easiest watch, especially in those middle innings. Joe knows the numbers. He's going to pull him in a tight game when the order comes up a third time. He did it again today, exactly on cue. The pitcher got a hit, I believe, and then Quintana comes out of the game when they go back to the top of the order. So what the Cubs need to do for Quintana is give him a little cushion. So when he gets that third time, you know, all right, maybe Joe will let him work his way out of it if he's up 6-1 or something like that. So the offense has to come through. But he's also got to grind through some of the moments to prove it to Joe, because history shows he does not do well third time through the order. So long story short, grindy is the way I'd put his performance. Good enough, though. He left in a 2-1 game.
Jesse Rogers covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So if Lester's one, what's the closest pitcher to two?
Boy, that's a great question. It's got to be Montgomery right now. I mean, if we're looking at the here and now, it's got to be Montgomery, and he has enough of a sample size where I think we could say that. It's six really good starts in a row, not four, not three, not five out of six, but six. Bullpen gave up a few runs when he left the last game, so the ERA rose a little bit. But in general, you'd have to say he's two. I don't know if Quintana or Hendricks is three and four, or they flip-flop, whatever, and then we find Chatwood at the back and Darvish at the back, but... And obviously, after last night, you have to downgrade what you feel about Kyle Hendricks right now.
That was tough to watch, Jesse, because we know Hendricks, when he's able to move his pitches around, he's got a nice arsenal, but it just sometimes just stays in the same spots. He looks very hittable more times than not. I wonder how does that get better, or will he just kind of be the same?
No, I think it could get better. Look, if you've proven that you can go through a whole season with a 2.13 ERA, that is no fluke to me. Other people might think it's a fluke. That's no fluke. Now, there's something in between his 4-plus ERA now and the 2.13, right? And he can land in that 3.50 range and be effective. Maybe it's not a number two. Maybe it's more like a number three. I still like to think of him as a two on this team when he's going at his best. But it doesn't have to go like this. He has to mechanically lock in. We know he can't make mistakes in wrong parts of the zone because he doesn't throw hard enough to get away with it. So let's just see. I mean, this was his worst start of his career, basically. I guess, look, over the course of a long career, you're going to have the worst start, and one of them has to be the worst, and this was it. Let's see how he bounces back. I said this earlier. I feel like he was kind of hanging in there, walking a tightrope for a while. Now he's really bottomed out, and let's see what the bounce back is like after this. Maybe he thought he could get away with some stuff, and now he realizes he can't. He's really got to find his mechanics and get back at it.
So what's your letter grade for the road trip for the Cubs based on how they played against Cincinnati and Los Angeles?
Well, that's a great question, because I know people don't want to hear this, and it wasn't just Joe, other people as well. I mean, the Reds are playing great baseball right now. You have to give them some credit. Doesn't mean you accept a sweep, but I will upgrade the letter grade by maybe one. Let's just say this. If the White Sox had swept them, if the Tigers, if the Twins this weekend, different story. The Reds are not your normal last place team. So if the road trip was going to be...
Uh-oh.
The Dodgers, they won 4 out of 7 in the season series over the course of 10 days with the Dodgers. Let me ask you something. In those 10 days, they won 4 out of 7. What went on in between that? The Cincinnati Reds.
Right.
Give them some credit. So I don't mind calling it a C. You can say I'm crazy, but I don't mind saying.
You gotta stop talking. You gotta stop giving him the sliding scale, Jesse. You know why? Because here's the thing. The thing I didn't like is just some of the base running, some of the things they did as far as their defense, especially in that Red series. See, I don't mind. If you're not going to hit, that's one thing. All teams go through the struggles. It's just some of the little things that the Cubs didn't shore up.
Jay, you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Did you hear what I said?
I said
stop with the sliding scale.
Yeah. Well, C's nothing to write home about. You know, my son comes home with C's. He's grounded. No, I'm kidding. But I didn't want to give him a D based on that the Reds are hot and they can hit. I didn't really take into account some of the mistakes the Cubs made. They blew a 5-0 lead. Look, normally you split with the Dodgers on the road. That's that's a B, right?
Right.
So I did. I downgraded them a whole grade. I mean, I can't believe we're doing. We're splitting hairs on this thing. Anyway, I will listen to your arguments as a student, and I will say, okay, fine, C minus. But that's as far as I'm going to go. I'm going to give the Reds credit for this one, especially after the Cubs left. They took two out of three from the Braves, and just missed sweeping them. They got walked off in the first game. So whatever you want to, I know people won't agree with me, but there are times when you give a team a failing grade. There are other times when you don't. I look at what they did this week, scoring 26 runs against a team that has shut them down traditionally. I think there are some positives here. But that Red series was bad. They played bad and the Reds played great. So that's why you can't give them anything better than that.
So here's the Joe Maddon talking about Yu Darvish before the game.
Didn't go that well. Was not able to cut it loose, so we're going to reevaluate once we get back to Chicago, and we'll let you know the next step. But for right now, he's not going to be able to pitch on Saturday. He still felt the pain on extension, he said, and he was unable to really turn it loose. He threw really well, we thought, in South Bend. He threw the ball well. I didn't see the whole thing. I watched some of it on video. Prior to that, he had pitched at our place in the sim game and threw the ball really, really well before we hit the road. So between then and now, he just doesn't feel right.
Stiff, sore question compared to pain. It's the latter. More.
Yeah, he said it was more pain today. We're going to be going back to Chicago today, and then over the next couple of days, we'll try to figure out the next course of action. He's so important to us and our success. We got to try to figure it out for him and for us. So you know, he knows he's got our support. It's just one of those things, man. You got to work through it.
I like the funeral music for Darvish right there at the end as Jesse just dropped off the line. Let's see if we can reestablish the connection with Jesse. But right there, I love the funeral music right there for Yu Darvish because that was apropos. I mean, here's a guy here that as we documented yesterday, the story from the LA Times where Dylan Hernandez writes the story about him. And Darvish was very candid, probably to a fault, about how he looks at his time with the Texas Rangers, with the Dodgers, of course, what happened in the World Series, and now with this team. Jesse, I think that the funeral music was apropos right there toward the end of that soundbite.
Yeah, I mean, I said to Sylvan Waddle, we have to pivot our expectations for Darvish right now. I was thinking, okay, man, he should be fresh for 3 months. He had a mental break. He's not fresh. He's hurting again, or it's in his head, or both, or whatever. So I think at this point, the way Montgomery's going, you sort of think of it this way. Montgomery is doing what Darvish should be doing, and you hope that he can continue it. And whatever they get from Darvish in his first year is gravy. I know that's not the way you want to think of a guy making $21 million, but I think the Cubs can survive without him as long as they don't sit there and wait for him to come back, and I don't think they are. They're going to move on. They've played well since he went down, to be honest, other than the Red series. Mm-hmm. So the Montgomery, Lester's the MVP of this team by far. I'll tell you, Montgomery's got to get some votes along with Javi Baez, obviously, because what he's done over this first month as a starter has been huge, and what he might do as he continues on filling in for Darvish could be huge. So I think you have to think of it that way, and just remember, they're deep enough to win without him, so that cannot be used as an excuse, you know, 2-3 months from now if things don't go well.
Jesse, lastly, I want to get your thoughts on Sammy Sosa because I know that you've seen the story from Sports Illustrated. He's in the news again. What do you think of Sammy Sosa and whether or not you feel, talk show Jesse, that he should be back in the Cubs' fold?
Well, I still think he should be, but I think he should keep his mouth shut. The E60 clip, I don't know if you saw it. Man, he's a bad liar. If you want to talk show Jesse to come out, he's a bad liar. He wouldn't pass a polygraph. He was terrible in that interview. Either say I'm not going to take those questions, or you better answer them honestly. But that doesn't bother me. I still think he can go to the convention and wave and leave town. So I don't care what he says, but he's not gaining any fans by the things he says. But I don't have a problem with it. I think he should still be allowed back in. But I think he's made things worse in terms of him and the organization.
Steve in Los Angeles listening on the ESPN app with Jesse Rogers here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, jump in.
I just wanted to say, it looked like the bats like came to life, you know, at the end of the series. And I love Chris Bryant. He's an amazing talent, but I think this him being out with the injury and the slump he's been in allows the guys to kind of get back on track. He, over the last month, it seems like he was kind of holding them back a bit. You know, the guys waiting for him to snap out of it rather than just taking the course of their own.
What do you think, Jess?
I don't know if I agree. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with it. I know that's what it kind of looks like, supposedly. But, look, you want Chris Bryant in there because at some point here, someone else is going to slump. And then you can rely on a guy like Bryant, if he's healthy, to go on a hot streak. Rizzo was cold until today. So, come on, let's not act like they don't need Bryant in there. Now, yes, he was a little bit of a hole in the lineup at times. The on-base percentage was fine. He was getting his singles. He just wasn't slugging. Let's not act like he was hitting 180. He wasn't. He was hitting more like 280 with a 350 on base or better. So let's not say they're better off without Chris Bryant. That's silly talk.
Steve in L.A., we appreciate your phone call. Okay, I lied. There's one other thing. Sure. So while you were in L.A., did you peddle your book deal to maybe be a movie at some point?
See, this is why you should be my agent. You mentioned my book more than I do on the radio. I didn't even think of that. And I saw David Ross at the park every day, and he's got his book being turned into a movie. I didn't even think of that. And the thing is, I was on a movie set, and I didn't, or a TV show set, and I should have brought the book and handed it off to some producers. Didn't even think of it. I'm an idiot.
What is the matter with you, Jesse? You write a book, and then you're shy about it? Come on.
That's why I need an agent. I need a publicist. You're my guy. You're my best advocate right now. I don't have anybody.
What happened to the aggressive Jesse Rogers I grew up in the business with?
What happened to the self-promoter? Baseball happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, you barely get enough sleep with these games sometimes. So it is what it is. What are you going to do?
Try not to suck. And you can also, don't forget, you can find that on Amazon. And Jesse will sign that book for you. Go to Amazon.com and he will sign that book. And Try Not to Suck, a terrific book that he wrote with Brandi Chastain. A terrific book about Joe Madden. Do I have that right?
Yes, you have that right, Brandi Chastain. And let me just say this. If they turned it into a movie, that would probably be the end of my days talking to you about the Cubs because, you know, I'd have to move up in the world a little bit.
Did you talk to Mark Pryor at all while you're out there?
I did not. I just a wave. That was it. I really did not talk to him. I know other reporters did when he was in town. I didn't really get a chance. I wasn't going to write a story on him. That wasn't what my assignment was. So, no, I never did get a chance to say hello to him.
All right. Well, I know you're flying back, so again, Try Not to Suck. That's where you can find it on Amazon. It's Jesse's book. He doesn't want to talk about it, but we'll talk about it here on Under the Hood. Thanks so much for coming on the show, as always.
Thanks, Jay Hood. Have a great night. I will see you back in town. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, it's Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. He joins us here on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So that now a setback with you, Darvish. You just heard from Joe Madden there, the manager for the Cubs. Man, just, and of course, in our episode last night, our show last night, which was entitled You Soft, Why You Soft, we talked about that LA Times piece, and it's just an odd situation because Yu Darvish, along with him not feeling comfortable pitching here in Chicago because of you, the Cub fan, making him feel uncomfortable, which is ridiculous to me. All you want is for that guy to be able to be good, right? I mean, we as fans, all we just want is to see the production on the field. And somehow, some way, Yu Darvish feels like, oh, well, you know, the Cub fans are booing me because I've been on the DL twice. Well, this hasn't worked out well. So far, so good when it comes to my thoughts on Yu Darvish, because I said at the time of the signing, I don't think that guy wasn't Cub. It was an odd signing because he's on the wrong side of 30 also. So, and also someone that was going to retire at some point, as it says in the LA Times article. Just don't think that was just the wrong move at this point in time. Unless he gets healthy and really helps in the second half, at this point in time, it was the wrong move by the Cubs. Thank goodness you have a Montgomery that can be a stopgap for the time being and it can stop the bleeding as far as that starting pitching staff is concerned. All right, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. I've been saying the last few days that Paul George is the linchpin to all of this when it comes to NBA free agency. Okay, so if Paul George is a linchpin, that's cool. But then why is LeBron in Miami? I know, right?
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Snapchat, snapjhood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back, guaranteed. We'll have summer football coming up at the top of the hour. We'll hear from the fastest man in the National Football League, and that is Tyreek Hill from the Kansas City Chiefs. Wide receiver, kick returner. He is awesome. We'll hear from Tyreek Hill coming up in summer football here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we celebrate the great game of football every night here on the program. So, how about a little NBA? So, what is really fascinating to me, what I really enjoy about the offseason, is that it's not necessarily about the NBA Finals right to the Summer League, or it's the NBA Finals to maybe a few moves that will happen in the offseason. We are in free agency season. It's a season unto its own. It's really amazing what the NBA has done with this. And LeBron James, obviously, is the linchpin to all of this, because LeBron James, every now and then, is trying to decide, well, what's best for me? We've gone through this for a while now with LeBron. But now other players are involved in this free agency period where there's so much drama. It takes over hashtag NBA Twitter. It just takes over social media and all the speculation of who's going where. That's not like it's a plethora of players, but it's just a handful of players in the NBA in which you're trying to figure out, like, where is this player going to go, LeBron James? Where is this player going to go, Paul George? Where is this player going to go, Kevin Durant or Carmelo Anthony? It's really compelling. And whatever you think of the NBA, the stories are always still out there in trying to determine, where is this player going to go? And because it becomes fodder, whether or not you like that player or not. It's just really interesting. So I saw several stories today regarding NBA free agency. One of them from Adrian Wojnarowski, because Woj is on top of it. When it comes to the NBA and free agency, he's right on top of it. So he was the first to inform us from ESPN.com that Paul George has informed the Oklahoma City Thunder that he will not be opting in for the final year of his contract and will become an unrestricted free agent, league sources told ESPN. Wow, right? This is a guy here that's going to decline. Just think about this on the surface. George is going to decline his $20.7 million salary for next season. Remain seriously interested in returning to the Thunder in free agency, or maybe the Lakers will receive serious consideration as well. Other teams include Philadelphia and Houston that want Paul George. Paul George is not a top 10 player in the NBA. He's not. But Paul George is a nice piece, a nice beta personality to have on your roster. Yes, as I mentioned, he gives you 20 points a game, and there's nothing to sneeze at. It's very solid. But Paul George is not like he's LeBron James. It's not like he's Kevin Durant. He's not that. He's not Russell Westbrook. But what he is a nice player, a nice steady player, who came back from a devastating injury at Summer League a few years ago. And now he's in a position where he can make not only big money, but maybe go to the place where he wants to go. Last time I saw Paul George, he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I watched him with Carmelo Anthony and with Russell Westbrook. And I thought that it looked kind of clunky watching all three of those guys on the floor. You have three dynamic scorers, and it just didn't gel. It just didn't mix. Melo's coming off the bench sometimes, and Paul George had to take a step back. And just because Russell Westbrook plays with such a ruthless aggression. And so it didn't really look great. Now, I do recall last season that Russell Westbrook was asked by the press, do you expect for Paul George to come back for season two with the Thunder? He says, oh, don't worry about that. Don't even ask me. Paul will be back. Don't worry about it. Paul George is coming back. And so I don't know if they asked Paul George that at the time that they asked Russell Westbrook, but Westbrook was convinced that Paul George is going to return. And now you see that he's going to is going to be an unrestricted free agent, which means that he will go where he wants to go, possibly to Los Angeles. Because when Paul George was in Indianapolis playing for the Pacers, he said as much. He liked to be in Los Angeles. I'm not talking to you, Siri.
I don't have schedule information for the next Pacers game yet. They were just beaten by the Cavaliers on April 29th, 2018.
What?
The final score was 105-101.
Okay, I'm not talking to you. Hey, Siri, I'm not talking to you. I'm doing a show. Yes, you.
She's mad at you now.
Yeah, now she's just, now, okay. Just leave me. I'm not, did I say Siri at all and all that? No. Just be quiet. Let me do the show. So when I watched Paul George with Oklahoma City, it didn't seem to gel well. You just kind of knew that if they were just one game better than they were the previous year, that it just wasn't working. So all this happening with Paul George, and I think that Paul George is a linchpin to all of this when it comes to free agency. So last night we had Bobby Marks on, our front office insider for ESPN. I'll be working with Bobby Marks and Nick Friedel Sunday, 3 to 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 1000. And we'll be able to have our free agent kind of breakdown for the NBA Sunday at 3 o'clock Chicago time. Bobby Marks told me yesterday that Paul George kind of holds the cards, everything in free agency.
Oh, I think he holds a lot of cards. And I think where I give Oklahoma City credit is that, and that's where the urgency for Los Angeles right now. You know, Lakers had a prime opportunity last year to go out and get Paul George. But their feeling was that they were able to sign him in free agency. And the Thunder did a great job in-house recruiting him for a year and basically rolled out the red carpet. Now, the thought of Paul George leaving for L.A. is now replaced with the thought of Paul George staying in Oklahoma City. So, yeah, I think if Paul was there already, then you can have him as your pitch man when you go into free agency to go get a LeBron James. But LeBron James is not walking into Los Angeles by himself without another superstar, because at best you are a 6-8 seed in the Western Conference with LeBron in that young group there.
Okay, so the thoughts there for Bobby Marks. And then Stephen A. Smith on his show, the Stephen A. Smith Show on ESPN Radio, he drops this bomb on everybody.
I will tell you what some folks reached out to me about 5 minutes ago during the break and said to me. LeBron, it's believed Cleveland and L.A. are what it's coming down to. It's believed that he reached out to Kevin Durant and inquired about his willingness to come to L.A. It's believed that he's told the Lakers to try and get Kawhi Leonard in order, because he wanted to see what players are coming there before he makes a decision as to whether or not to go to L.A. I also just been told LeBron James has been seen in Miami with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. I have no clue whether that's true or not. I'm here doing my radio show.
He's been told, but doesn't know if it's true. It probably was true. It might be just a meeting to Miami to just try to knock everybody off the scent. Like, I'm not really going to Miami, but I will go stop in and see the guys. Who knows? But this was interesting.
I got two phone calls last night after hours with folks telling me that LeBron James reached out to Kevin Durant. Actually, Kevin Durant, you know that dude for the reigning two-time NBA Finals MVP, Max? Know that guy, one of the top three players in the world, that guy who just spent the last 2 years beating LeBron James in the NBA Finals? Well, LeBron James reached out to Kevin Durant via text, from what I'm told, about coming to Los Angeles. I don't know what Kevin Durant's response to him was. That is not the information that I got, but I will tell you what I did hear is that behind the scenes, Kevin Durant was like, why would I do that? You know what? As far as I'm concerned, LeBron James is a big-time player, what have you, but the way I look at it, I should be perceived as the best in the world. I'm the reigning two-time champion. I'm the reigning two-time NBA Finals MVP. Why would I think about doing something like that? But nevertheless, LeBron has been making calls, and the one person that he did make, a text message to, the one person I'm told that he reached out to was Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant ain't coming to L.A. Kevin Durant plans on staying in Golden State. Kevin Durant plans on, you know, opting out and then, you know, getting a contract, an extension from the Golden State Warriors. His plan is to stay there because his mentality is that he intends to surpass LeBron James. His whole thing is not to join and help LeBron James get more rings, even if he's getting it with LeBron. His goal is to surpass LeBron James. He believes in the next couple of years he'll have more rings than LeBron James has. And so that's the mentality right now, and that was the news that I got last night.
Do you think LeBron James, put it on the poll, Sean, at ESPN 1000, do you think LeBron James would ask Kevin Durant to team up with him, yes or no? Do you think Durant would do it? And the answer is no. I don't think that that would happen. I think some of this, what Stephen A. I believe in the reporting because of Stephen A. Smith. I just don't know about the rest of the hyperbole along with that. Like Durant as a beta personality saying, oh, you know, why would I want to team up? I'm the best guy in the world. I want to prove that I'm the best, all that. I mean, again, LeBron James, the best player in the NBA, and I think Durant's a very close second. A couple of championships helps that matter, of course. But, you know, LeBron James, being as polarizing as he is, and trying to determine where his next stop is, I told you, and I've been saying this since the end of the regular season, that LeBron James is going to go to one of two places. He will either stay in Cleveland or go to Los Angeles. But the thing that I want to point out, and we're going to find out very shortly, you know, where LeBron's going to go. But the thing that I want to point out is that LeBron James is not going to L.A. by himself, meaning that he has to have somebody that's willing to sign along with him, because that's the league today. You see, if you're as I've been saying for a while now, that players of this generation, what they're looking for is championships. Because what do basketball players have? They have generational wealth. They're kids' kids, and there's kid kids. They're all paid and all taken care of. But see, I think that this generation is about legacy. It's about winning championships, and by any means necessary. We are not in the era of Reggie Miller staying in Indianapolis saying, okay, GM, I trust you. I trust you. I know you're going to build. You're going to give me somebody. I know it's not Patrick Ewing, for the most part, staying with New York. He did, I think he was with the Sonics or a couple other teams toward the end. But the point is that these guys that will be ride or die with an organization, yeah, I believe in you. Yeah, I know. I'm just going to stay here because I'm going to ride this out. I know we're going to win a championship because I know I believe in me. Yeah, but the GM does not necessarily believe in trying to get other players around you to be better. Very few, as you could tell by the championships that have been won in the NBA, very few actually did put together through the draft of free agency players around another star player to win championships. Because there's so many dynasties up and down the NBA that you could tell just only a few GMs did it well. Jerry Krause did it well. Clearly, around Michael Jordan, because he was able to plug and play certain players to round out a roster around Michael Jordan. You saw that with the Pistons. You saw that with the Lakers, with Mitch Kupchak as a general manager. Very few GMs know how to do it properly. So the idea that some dude is just going to sit there and be like, you know, I'm just going to just sit here and just wait it out because I know I'm going to win a championship and I like it here. I got a home here. This is a swipe right generation in the NBA. They're cool with you for a while, but then when you start looking old to them and it doesn't look like there's going to be a championship, or if you look at them wrong, swipe right, I'm going to go to another city. This is where we are, the swipe right generation in the NBA. Cats are just not going to sit in one city waiting for you to help them win a championship by getting the right players. It's just not happening. And so this is why we have all this movement. Same thing with LeBron James. LeBron has every right to leave Cleveland if he wants to. He left. He did it once. He had all these years trying to win a championship the first time, and they did not supply him with the right players. And so he said, well, I need to be in a position before I get too old to win championships. He won two in Miami, came back to Cleveland. Kyrie was already there. The team was already made. Three championships. And so now look at that team now. He drug the dead ass of the Cavaliers up and down the floor to even get to the finals last year. Should he have to do that again? He might have to, because I think that the only options are Cleveland or going to Los Angeles with someone else. Cleveland is not the sell. Cleveland is not the place where it's like, hey, Paul George, you want to play in Cleveland? Hell no. Why would I go to Cleveland? L.A.? More like it. And that's kind of how it is. Yes, do you want to play with someone as talented as LeBron James? Sure, but it's got to be on your terms if you're Paul George, if you're Kawhi Leonard, if you are Boogie Cousins, who's still out there as well. That's how the NBA works. Yeah, there's a lot of super teams out there, or supposed super teams. The super team in Minneapolis didn't work out too well. The super team in Oklahoma City didn't work out too well. Golden State is the ultimate when it comes to that. Talent wants to play with talent, because they don't want to be the only shining star on that team with a bunch of also-rans, with a bunch of guys that are okay but can't elevate you, can't elevate the team, can't get you to a championship level. That's where we are in the NBA, and I don't blame them. I got money. What I mean, I got plenty of money, and I'm playing a game I want to play. Now I want to win a championship. I want to establish a legacy. That's what these guys are doing. in the 70s and 80s and some of the 90s, I'll just chill because I like you here. I'm going to stay here, John Stockton. I'm just going to stay here and we're going to win a champion. No. Here's the smartest guy out of all of them was Charles Barkley. He knew where to find the super teams. He was one of the first ones. It's just like, I'm not going to win anything in Philadelphia. I'm not going to win anything in Phoenix and other places he went in Houston. He tried. He was looking to be able to be with other good players because he was the only shining star when he was in Philadelphia. That's why he moved on. So you just have to do that. And that's where the league is today. I have no problem with them doing that because they want to establish a legacy. But the thing is now, what's going to happen? As I said, LeBron is either going to be in Cleveland or Los Angeles. The Miami thing is a smokescreen to me. We have more as we move forward here because the Kawhi Leonard news is very interesting as well. Kawhi Leonard, who doesn't say anything to anybody, he's a mute, didn't say anything. He just plays basketball, didn't say anything. But yet, somehow, through the grapevine, he wants to leave San Antonio, a nice spot. Again, swipe right. Like, you know what? I don't like you. Why? I just don't like you. I mean, just so petty. It's like, what? Because he won't say anything, it's just petty to me. Just like, well, why don't you want to play with San Antonio? We have no idea. I have two sources in San Antonio. They still don't know what the disconnect is. Swipe right. I just want to be in L.A., Clippers or Lakers. Why? I just do.
They don't know how to braid his hair.
No, that's probably the They're not a shop at the Alamo to hook them up.
You're listening to my mans and them.
Just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
Right? Jay Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have Summer of Football. Tyreek Hill, wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, scheduled to join us. Also, we will do Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. And more on the NBA free agency in our 9 o'clock hour. Sekou Smith from NBA TV will be with us. All part of the mix as you're listening to Under the Hood.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood, run that back. Give them the info they need.